Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started.
Oregon's legalization of psilocybin, what this means for future medical use of psychedelics. All right, this is going to be a very powerful substance, especially in the field of mental health. And as you probably remember, psilocybin is the active ingredient in something that we refer to as magic mushrooms. So on January 1st, Oregon became the first state to allow the use of psilocybin, the psychoactive hallucinogenic ingredient in magic mushrooms. This marks the first time that the drug, which is listed as a Schedule 1 with the federal government, has been made available in adults to a state-sanctioned therapeutic setting.
Being listed as a Schedule 1 drug, the federal government deemed psilocybin as having no medical use. This has long been a point of contention for users of the drug who claim to have had therapeutic experiences with the drug. The voters of Oregon seem to side with the belief that psilocybin has therapeutic potential, as the drug is only to be distributed in registered locations.
These locations are designed to be places in which therapeutic doses of psilocybin can be administered by a medical professional and where the patient will be in the presence of trained mental health professionals for the duration of the treatment. This system also represents the acceptance of the medical applications for psilocybin.
The basis for the medical application of psilocybin stems from the idea of neuroplasticity. This idea that the psychoactive drug promotes the changing of neural pathways in the brain. In the context of mental health, using drugs that promote neuroplasticity can be the solution to issues such as anxiety, depression, and PTSD. Some of the students being trained to be facilitators of this treatment expressed this exact sentiment, voicing frustration with the limitations of psychotropic drugs like Xanax or Zoloft that are used to treat the symptoms of mental illness, not the underlying causes.
The hope for the therapeutic use of psilocybin is that using the drug and having a mental health professional guide them through the experience, the root cause of mental health disorders can be addressed. In theory, a one-time dose of psilocybin could grant the patient a new perspective on issues they're facing, eliminating the need for the daily use of benzodiazepines, SSRIs, and other medications for mental health disorders.
There's also data to back up what has until recently only been rumored. A recent study found that two doses of psilocybin paired with talk therapy led to an 83% decline in heavy drinking among participants, and that nearly half of them had stopped drinking entirely by the end of the 8-month trial. That's significant. That is significant.
I'm telling you, the use of MDMA, which is the active ingredient in a drug called ecstasy, and psilocybin are really, really profound. And they're finding some really incredible uses, and we'll talk about that in a second. Oregon recently became the first state to allow the legal purchase of psilocybin or magic mushrooms. This marks one of the first legitimate changes in policy for the use of the Schedule 1 drug. There's new data to suggest that psilocybin does, in fact, have medical potential, and Oregon plans on being the first state to allow that research and therapy to take place. The next thing that we need to do is that we need to also make it not just for medical use. It needs to also be for recreational.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, this is a, I mean, think about it. This is a plant that grows in nature,
mm-hmm.
right? This grow, like marijuana, this grows, like, I could see where you're like, well, you know, if you're making something synthetic, da-da-da-da-da, you know, I can understand that. Mm-hmm. But like reindeer eat magic mushrooms,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, mm-hmm. no, it's true.
And why should they, only the reindeer benefit from his
right. life? And the I think that the research that was done in the 50s and 60s in the military looking at the psychedelics as LSD was being first discovered, I think that the potential for deep self-reflection and the potential for people to kind of recognize, I mean, there's a reason why cultures and populations have been doing psychedelic drugs for generations. Yeah. Why? And what is that? That is clearly because there's a tremendous benefit that can be gotten from it. And so the fact that it's illegal is still, I mean, you know what else is a Schedule One? Schedule One, marijuana, heroin, psilocybin, LSD. These are drugs that have tremendous medical potential, certainly marijuana, psilocybin, and possibly LSD. But the fact that they're on the, you know, heroin will kill you. LSD will just get you high, you know, and the marijuana will just make you want to go eat Cheetos.
Right.
Okay? But like I can understand the opioids being there, yes, right?
That's exactly.
Completely understandable.
Exactly.
That's public safety.
That's right.
But the other drugs that are on there are not public safety at all. Mm-hmm. It's just, to me, it just seems more like it's people control.
Yeah.
It's controlling people.
Yeah.
And so I think this is great that Orion has done this. We certainly applaud them.
Yeah.
I just would love to see the recreational, that this start to move to recreational use. Because what we have seen is that countries that decriminalize drugs, there's significant less drug use that occurs as a result of that.
Right. I agree. And then the number of people that need help but will never seek mental health, right? We know there's populations of people that will never walk into a doctor's office for mental health treatment. If they had access to psilocybin, this could help them, right?
Yep,
this could help them in untold ways because they wouldn't seek the help themselves. So I'm with you, Dr. Derry. I guess that was my point of saying that. Like, I think this would help many more people than we would even know, because a lot, like we've talked about before, a lot of us are walking around with low levels of stress and sometimes higher mid levels of stress every single day, just because this would help so many people.
100%. Adam, don't just cut the recording right there. All right. So my final thought on this, though, Hope, is that in our society, we tend to move in the direction where we don't help people.
Of course.
Right. So like, look at the law that was just passed in Kansas City where they are allowing teenagers to walk around with guns. That is the direction they want society to go into. But when you see things like this, if we were truly intellectually honest, legislators would have seen stuff like this and jumped on it forever ago, because the medical world has been talking about this forever.
Yeah.
And they would. But this is like, again, in my theory or my cynical look at the American society, our modern day American society, it's keeping people under the boot of capitalism, end stage capitalism, you know, and this is just something that just, you know, that moves us in the direction of being helpful. But it takes, you know, it just, you know, whenever they want something that is harmful for society, they will get it instantly. Whenever it's something that's good for society, it takes decades to see that change actually happen.
And that's what's so damn depressing.
And that is what's so damn depressing, 100%.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Hickerson, at hopehickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.